Well, I love the girls at Plano, and I'm so blessed that Debbie called me and let me... come on in, guys. Yeah, there's still more open space, so feel free to come in. When Debbie called and asked, I'm always just kind of blown away at the God's provision to give me opportunity to share, because I've asked the Lord to open doors and give me opportunity, because I need to grow in public speaking, because I just always kind of get like this, and you're like, oh, Lord, you know, afterwards you kind of go with the, you know, you have to talk and say, I'm not going to listen to the enemy, because the Lord is the one who opened the door and gave me this opportunity, because he's answering my prayers to say, Lord, I want to grow. I want to grow in everything you have for me. And one of the things I want to grow in is being able to express God's goodness and his love to women. And so what a joy it is to get to share with you guys today. And like I said, it's kind of fun that I get to be in my own room. So it's like, oh, this is a little bit more comfort zone, because I'm just like, we're all together, you know, we're having like house church, we're in like life group, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to share. And, you know, it's so funny. One of the things that the Holy Spirit told me to do yesterday, so it's kind of, wasn't in my notes, but as I'm listening to the Lord, because all of you guys know, today when we made our little blurb, I said something about being a rebel, and I have to clarify that. I'm really not a rebel, right? The part of that I was saying I'm a rebel, I love how, you know, Debbie and Laura give us directions, which is beautiful, because they lead us and guide us and administrate things. And so I love in the little topics, it said the discipline of, you know, the discipline of, and then mine was just kind of like, hey, come and, you know, say yes to Jesus. But, you know, the discipline of saying yes to Jesus is being his disciple. And we know that discipline, that word comes from disciple. And so really, all of us in here, I know I'm speaking to disciples. And so I'm going to talk about saying yes to the one who knows us best, the one who loves us, and which also means when we say yes to the Lord, that we're saying no to ungodliness. And so that's really, there's going to be a couple things that the Holy Spirit said, I want you to touch on that. And so I know that I pray that as you are listening today, that your heart's just going to be encouraged and exhorted and said, you know, and say, Lord, I made this decision so long ago. And it really is a decision to say, Lord, I'm going to submit my heart to you and your ways, and I'm going to say yes to you, and I'm going to follow you, no matter what the cost. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to start with scripture. So, Lord, thank you that you have filled us with your spirit, Lord. It is you that gives us the power to say no to ungodliness and to say yes to your Holy Spirit, to follow in obedience and joy, Lord. And so I just pray today, as we're exhorting one another, Lord, in the scriptures, that you would deposit, Lord, strength in the women in this room, Lord. Strength to say, yes, Lord, I am all in. I have decided to follow Jesus, and there is no looking back. I'm only going to keep my gaze on you, Lord. And so I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I loved Kelly. She stole my line, you know. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back, and there's no looking back, right? We've got our eyes straight ahead. But one of the things, lots of us did have a past, and we came from a past. And so I'm going to read to you guys, and I'm not going to, you don't have to look it up, because it makes it faster. We can just go through. But I'm going to read Titus chapter 3, verses 3-7. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So all of us in this room, we were once foolish, and we walked just really living and pleasing for our own pleasures, whatever we just wanted to do. But now, because of the kindness of God, he has filled us with his abundant love. We have been justified by grace, and now we get to live forever. This is not just a short-term thing. This is for all eternity. Everything that we do and say has ramifications for all eternity. So I wanted to also say in Titus 2, going back one more chapter, verses 11 through 14, many of you know these scriptures by heart. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, or saying no to ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So really, every time we say no to ungodliness, we're saying yes to the Lord. You know, yes is an affirming. It's an affirming. We're affirming our walk with the Lord when we choose to say no. And I love how, you know, the Lord wants us to always be walking a walk that says yes and amen. He wants us to affirm him in our decisions, in our actions, in our thoughts. It's been so powerful to hear Carol, such strength that she shares. You're like going, whoa, okay, I want to write that down too. But just even as she just shared in the last segment, that it really does start in our thought life of how we're going to act out and walk out. And so when we say yes and amen to the Lord in decisiveness, it's because we have already made up our mind. And really, it's getting back to that decision factor. So that we've already said, when the Lord speaks to us, we can say yes and amen because we've already decided that we are going to follow, and there's no looking back. So my question that I have for you guys, and just to kind of get you thinking, is are you stepping in his spirit? We're all, it's about footsteps, right? It's all about being sure footed and walking and that stepping. So are you walking in his spirit with joy for your strength? And I hope that all of you are. But if you're not, guess what? Today you can decide right now that I'm going to start walking in joy. And you know, we learned, of course, that we know the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And even she covered about how joy is really in his presence. And so if we're not having that joy, we know where we can go get some more joy. We can just decide, I'm going to shut the door and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to wait and I'm going to be in your presence. I'm going to be in your word. I need your joy. I need your strength. So really, it's a decision. He's always going to answer us, but it's our decision to say, yes, I am going to spend time in your word. Yes, I am going to wait on you, Lord. So when we make that decision, we can get right back on that joy stairway and say, oh, I'm going to go walk in his strength. And I know that the Lord has given me his strength. So again, I love that we are called to a decision. And a decision is not just what we say, it's actions, right? We all know, and there's a parable in that Jesus told about the Pharisees. I talk fast, so if I get above myself, let me get back, right? Matthew 21, and you guys know this parable, right? I mean, it came to my heart, and I'm like, okay, where's this found? But Jesus starts off with, I love how Jesus gets attention with our hearts. He asks a question. Have you ever kind of like, why? I don't know. Jesus comes and asks a question. Where, you know, we know, like, you know, the woman at the well. Where are your husbands? Right? You know? And so Jesus asks these Pharisees, but what do you think? You know, he's going to think, oh, you think you got it all. You know what's what. You're a Pharisee. You think you have the answers. But what do you think? What's true here? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered him and said, I will not. But afterward, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son likewise, and he answered and said, I'd go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? We all know the first. The first son repented and changed his mind and said yes to Jesus. The other son said, but what? He did not obey. He did not obey the will of the father. So as Christians and followers and obedient followers of Christ, there's only two ways we can walk, right? Either in obedience or repentance, but really only one way, because when you look at it, repentance is obedience. I love God's plan that there's always a turnaround plan. And it just says, turn around, come to me, and I will be. So we just always want to have that heart that says, yes, Jesus. And the moment we don't have that heart that says, yes, I love his conviction that comes and says, oh, okay, I haven't been honoring you in what I'm supposed to be doing. So in 1 Samuel, you know that it says, obey the voice of the Lord, or obedience is better than sacrifice, depending on what version, right? So saying yes to the Lord is really, like I said, a decision that we've already firmly made in our heart and mind. Usually we make that decision when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, right? We always say, oh, you know, I'm following you. You're my Lord. There's no looking back. And what does Lord mean? Oh, it means he is the ruler. He's got the scepter. He says what to do. Go here, go there, and you go, right? So sometimes we accept Jesus as our Savior, and we're learning how to be Lord. So sometimes it's a process of true surrender. When we can say, Jesus, you are my Lord, there is true surrender. And when we say, you're my Lord, that means I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I'm going to follow. I'm going to do what you command, God. The Old Testament, she was in Old Testament today. We're in Deuteronomy in 6. Of course, in Joshua, Deuteronomy 6 is the commandment to love the Lord your God, right? So it starts early in the beginning. It's very simple. Love the Lord. Everything will flow out of loving the Lord, even as we obey him and say yes to him. It's because we love him. And then in Joshua 24, Joshua was exhorting the people. You know, Moses was a leader, and all of a sudden Joshua, he's kind of the weak leader. Like, we all kind of probably feel more like Joshua than Moses. I don't even know if Moses felt like Moses. Who knows what he felt like, right? I mean, he was still a little bit stuttering, they say, so who knows? But Joshua said, hey guys, God loves us so much, he gives us a choice to serve him. Are you going to serve the idols? Or are you going to serve God? Are you going to do as the rest of the countries that you're living in is doing? Are you going to do the rest of what the world around you is doing? Or are you going to choose this day who you're going to serve, right? Because the Lord is so gracious. God never forces us. He waits for us to respond. He wants us to have yes hearts. He doesn't see a heart that's hard and say, oh, I'm going to take them anyway. No, the Lord waits until we have received his Spirit, and he turns our hard heart into hearts that are pliable for him to use and move like he wants us to. He never forces us to love him. He just always reaches out with his arms, and he never drags us, right? I love how we come to these retreats, and sometimes you think, well, I was forced to come to this retreat, you know, but that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, come to this retreat. I have something for you. And then, yes, he always answers what he has. When he calls us, he always says, I love you. So when we choose to say yes to his love, the Lord comes in. So I love in Joshua where he said these words, and most of us have repeated it, right? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then we know as we serve the Lord that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him, to the glory of God through us. So if we want to walk in his promises, we have to say yes. We have to say yes to him. And saying yes to Jesus means, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you say, but only if you do this for me first. If you kind of like, you know, Lord, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, but first bring me my husband. Lord, I'm going to serve you with all my heart, but first let me finish school and get my degree. You know, the Lord, that's not saying yes. That's really just kind of saying, I'm still Lord. I haven't come to that place of your Lord. And so the Lord really wants, and he's so precious and that he doesn't want us to give him ultimatums. And I love how his timing is not like our timing. His timing is high above our timing. Sometimes we're like, hey, I've been praying for this for 10 years, God. You should do something now. You know, it's like, I've waited. What's going on? And yet the Lord's time is always perfect. He makes all things beautiful in his time. I have a son named Justin, and I was in labor for literally, when I say 2 days, because my water broke 2 days earlier. And then, you know, we had him, and one of the guys at church say, oh, I guess he was just in time, right? You know, meaning that, you know, the Lord is always going to come through. And even at the break of dawn, don't you love reading the Psalms? And it talks about, I have to look it up to quote it properly, right? But when you read it, and she is, she won't be moved, and she's sure. But the Lord always comes to the rescue. But did you notice? It's like it's dark for such a long, long time. And they always say, well, at the break of day, the Lord comes in, and he speaks and changes things. And so we want to trust him. We want to say yes, even when we don't see his timing acting like it's our timing. Because his timing really is the timing of the Lord. And I love how this retreat, as we've been seeing sure-footedness, about how the timing of the Lord, because he sees things as they are now, as they were from the beginning to the end. I mean, he already knows the end. And so his timing, he is working all things to really bring his best and his good for us. So we know that we choose daily to say yes to the Lord, right? We say it all the time, you know, pick up your cross daily, right? It says pick up your cross. And that means, oh, Lord, not my way, your way, the way of the cross, which was death. Death to his own self to bring life to all of us. And so we do want to have our cross picking up daily. But then there's a place that place is called abiding in Christ, right? Where we have already made up our mind. Our decision is firm. And that we are going to choose the way of everlasting. We're not going to choose a way that is going to bring life. We say, Lord, what is the way you want me to go today? I want to choose life today. I'm going to choose you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I don't want any other way but his, right? I want the Lord's way. I want his truth in my inner being. I want my whole household to serve the Lord. And, following Jesus and making up your mind, it's kind of like a picture of an elevator. The Holy Spirit used this for me when I was a very young person. I want to just share a moment of my testimony of when I was a young person. I'm looking around the room. I think my daughter might be the oldest one in here. I'm youngest one in here. Yeah. Not older, youngest. Yeah. Who knows, right? You know how we have the elevator here and everybody's waiting to get on the elevator and you know you're going to push the button because you're going to go, if you're on whatever floor, you're going to go there. And so just get the picture of the elevator in your mind. But when I was a young person, I've known Jesus for a very long time. I was privileged and blessed to be raised in a very secure home, Christian home. They taught me about Jesus, when I was learning my ABCs. And I asked the Lord to be my Savior probably even before. I don't have a memory of it. My mom says 3 or 4, right? Who knows? I do have a memory in the sense of the work of Christ of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I was 7 years old. People say, that's too young to be baptized. And my dad, it depends on as you're looking at your word. But you want all that God has, right? And so as a young person, growing up, even in the 60s, 70s, the Jesus movement, I always tell people, we went to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, when it had 50 people. When I say we, I was like a baby. I don't even know if I was born. Maybe it was only my parents. Who knows, right? Get the story right. But backtrack for a moment. My father was a police officer in the Costa Mesa Police Department. And he'd also gone to Bible college, a pastor, different things. But his sergeant in the police department said, oh, you need to come visit our little church. We just got a new pastor, Chuck Smith. And so my parents visited the church. And it was on Church Street. It was like, anyway. And so they went. But they didn't stay. And I said, man, I could have said I was raised in Calvary Chapel, but I can't say that. But I was raised in Jesus. So that's even more important, guys. It's important who we belong to. We belong to Jesus. And so even within our churches and when we're ministering to people and talking to people, we want to make sure that the focus always remains on the one who we're living for, and it's Jesus. Talking about my growing up years, right? And I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I was 9, I was baptized in water. And so you come into your teen years and, like I said, raised in a Christian home. And so we talk about one of the things for teenagers, is waiting until marriage before you have sex, right? And so sexual purity was, just something that, I had made up my mind about. It was like, I wanted God's best. This is what God has for his kids. And so, I had made up my mind, and it was really a decision that I said, Lord, I'm going to wait until I'm married to do things that I know is saved for the marriage bed. And, God is so good. When I say, that decision to say yes and to make up your mind, I hope it goes unsaid that God has given us a will, right? That's how we get saved. We're saved by faith. But it's because we believed, we said yes, we believed in our heart, mind, and soul that Jesus is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and he came as a man, died. We believe and say yes, but we can only do that even through the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing that we do is of our own. Even salvation, the Holy Spirit has to bring his conviction for salvation, right? So even when we choose to say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, it's the power of the Spirit that helps us make that choice to walk in the Spirit. And so I'm going to fast forward to let you guys know it has a happy ending. I was able to stay, and I say stay on the elevator until we got to the penthouse, to the top floor, and that sense of saying, I'm not going to mess around or do things in the sexual realm that is not pleasing to God until I get married. And so the Lord was very gracious to me, and I married the guy that I met at church. Isn't that funny? You go to church. I was young, and so the story of how God has been faithful to me is just very precious. But when we were my husband and I, in our younger days, we worked with college ministry, and we worked with youth and different things. And one of the things I've kind of shared with the youth is that deciding to wait and to walk in purity. Before marriage, and I'm going to touch after marriage, but walk in purity before marriage is that it's almost like a ride on an elevator. And you get on the elevator and you're with Jesus and he's saying, I want you to go to floor seven. I'm going to call it floor seven because that's God's perfect number, right? So I'm going to call it penthouse. And then I was like, oh, that, you know, Pentecost, you know, just you want the fullness of the Spirit, keep going, right? No, but, you know, elevator. And when you get on the elevator, you don't say, well, I think I'm going to get on this and go to this place. But, you know, I really haven't made up my mind what floor I want to get on. Right? First, that's one thing. Or other people get on and they keep getting off on different floors. And so you see different ones and you're like, oh, wait a minute. So we're in God's elevator, right? And so I share this with the young people. Let's backtrack for a minute. But for young people, don't get off on floor one. Oh, you see people over there and they're French kissing and they love Jesus. Maybe that's okay, right? Or floor three is like, oh, they're doing a little bit more, but really they haven't messed up yet, you know? And instead you say, no, I have a destination. Even if I see others on the floor, I'm not going to step off. I'm going to decide to say no, Lord. So for my own heart at that young time, I had set boundaries. And I really do believe that the Lord, I love the scripture verse that talks about how the Lord has given us pleasant boundaries to walk in. And it's really a protection that God gives us of those boundaries that are set up. And not to walk by the law, but to walk by the Spirit and say, Lord, you might need to design some boundaries for me that I can verbalize in my mind. So with sexual purity in the sense of if you're not married, you know, you say, okay, my mom would always say, you know, French kissing is for marriage. So that was just one of them. Oh, okay. So you just kind of like, you make different rules and you're like, okay, never be alone with a guy. So I mean, I had all these different places that would keep me, in a more safer place. And of course you get older and you leave home and sometimes those are not, those are kind of broken in the place of like, oh, you're with a guy and you're like, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have put myself in this kind of place. So, but yet we had the boundaries. So you would say, hey, this is not. So anyway, I wanted to kind of talk then about, God's faithfulness to us and how he wants, even as, women of God, some of us are married. Some of us might be single. Some of us might be waiting to get married. But that the Lord wants us to have that purity of heart, even as for a young teenager who says, oh, I'm going to wait to get married. The Lord always wants us to come to that place of purity with him. Even if there's been areas in our life that we haven't stayed clean in, the Lord then, when we repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness, he cleanses us. So it's like we get to start over with a clean heart, a fresh slate. And so the Lord wants you to be at that place to say, no, I'm going to follow your guidelines, God. Not to be reminded of, oh, I messed up on one area so I can never have that purity that God is wanting me to walk in. No, that's the enemy. The Lord says there is always a place for purity to come back in. And especially, you know, we look at the when Jesus even said that the pure in heart shall see God, that when we are having a heart that is pure and right in our activities and our actions, there's a purity in a relationship with the Lord. There's no shame. And so, you know, again, with the picture of the elevator, right? You're getting on God's elevator and which is going to seven, and that's God's perfection for you. God has a desire to transform us to be like him. And you're like, oh, but, you know, the door three opened. And so, God, there's only a little bit of darkness here. And, oh, there's only a little bit of lying on this floor. How about, okay, no, I better get back in the elevator. Okay, a push button five. There's only a little bit of lust. I'm not really sensing the full-blown darkness here. It's okay, right? No, the Lord says, stay in my love, abide in me, I say in the elevator, and tell the floor that I've told you to get off on. And that's his perfection. That's the work of walking like Christ did. And so he wants us to go, to stay in his heart of protection for us until that perfect place. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I'm not real sure of how to kind of encourage you guys with sexual purity, except that, you know, it's important for our lives because when we are having a heart that is clean in every way, in whatever state, married, unmarried, waiting for marriage that we're in, it's saying, Lord, you're enough for me. You're the one for me. I truly love you. I don't have other things that come before you. And so the Lord wants, you know, I love it how the Lord always looks at us with dove eyes. And, you know, it talks about in the Song of Solomon. And that means he's always looking at with gentleness and kindness. So even if there is an area where we have not said yes completely to the Lord, and we're still walking in that ungodliness and in our own pleasures and our own lust, when we come to that place of saying, Lord, I don't want to walk this way. I want to walk in your purity, in your strength, in your grace. And you come to the Lord, he looks at you with kindness and says, I want to heal that. I want to deliver you from that stronghold. And he brings you to that place of purity again. And so I really felt like the Lord wanted me to touch on purity. And so I just know he's faithful. And I know even in my own life, you know, I've been married for like, what, 29 years. And there's been things that I have touched on that were wrong, that were sinful. And I just hate being in that place of mud. It really just makes you feel, you know, you'd like, I just want to die now kind of thing. But then, you know, when, with repentance and confession, God brings about, Lord, such a newness and a cleanness and a purity and a brightness. And then he gives you that power. You know, we talk about we need the power of the Holy Spirit to walk it out in his grace and strength. And so the Lord always wants us to come back to that place of not walking like we talked about in Titus when we started off, right? Not to be foolish and not to serve various lusts and flesh. But then when Jesus and his kindness appears, he gives us a new direction, right? I always love the direction of the Lord. The direction is always higher. Higher than where we've been. It's going to always be going, moving forward. That's what the Lord has for us, moving forward. I love that, you know, sometimes we can look when we're talking about where we're walking or what floor we get off or what's okay in our life, you know, a little bit of this or a little bit of that, and we can kind of compare. And we know that comparison is bad, right? Comparison never does any good. In fact, Jesus kind of made it very, very clear when his disciple Peter, when he spoke to Peter about what was going to happen to him at the end of his life, right? What did Peter do? He's kind of like going, well, wait a minute, I might have messed up, you know, but what about John? John, you know, and Jesus said, no, don't be, paraphrase, don't be worried about what John is doing. You be worried about you. And so the Lord calls us to holiness, and we're not to be worried about what other Christians might say, well, this is okay, or a little bit of that is okay. You need to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what is okay with you? What is okay with your heart? What is pleasing your heart? What is saying, yes, I'm all in for you, God. I'm not in it. You know, hey, I need a little bit for myself. So this is just, you know, God said, oh, everybody needs a little bit for themselves. No, you want to be at that place where you say, Lord, I am all for you. Everything, my mind, my body, my strength, I am all in for you. And so we want the power of the Spirit to walk as we walk. And that really starts with that heart of saying, Lord, I need you. I can't walk this walk without you. I can't do it on my own. I need your love. I need your Spirit to lead me. And then as we have that heart that is humble and cries out that says, I need help. I need you, God. I need you to be able to say yes. He gives us the grace to walk as he walked in purity and in love and perfection. You know, we don't wake up every morning and say to ourselves, should I follow God today? Or should I just follow my own ideas, my own pleasure, my own whatever I want to do, thought, life? Or do we wake up and say, and this is how we all wake up, I'm sure, right? We wake up and we say, Lord, I need you. I belong to you. I am a child of God. And we know who we belong to and who we're going to serve. And we just kind of ask the Lord. I love, you know, when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, it means an ongoing, continual thing. So once we've been, you know, sometimes we can think, well, I was baptized in your Spirit. So I have all the strength, all the power to walk the yes and amen walk that I'll ever need because I've said, you know, yes to the Lord and he's filled me with the Spirit. But I love where he talks about being filled with his Spirit is being filled. So it's a never ending. It's never ending coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, fill me up. And so, I mean, that's the most beautiful prayer. I think we can all cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me. I need you. Fill me that I can walk in your power and in your Spirit. I love that saying yes to the Lord means that we have submitted, right? You know that word submit. Sometimes it's really one of the most beautiful words that you can think of because Jesus submitted to the Father to be born as a child. He wasn't afraid of giving up his Godhead. He knew that God had a good plan. So he submitted himself to the Father and said, yes, yes to the Father. And then through that, of course, saved all mankind through that yes, that simple yes. And so when we are submitting to the Lord, He is ruling and he is reigning in us, in our lives. And we are living by the Spirit. I'm going to read the gifts of the Spirit. Y'all know those in Galatians 5:16. And this is how we live by the Spirit, right? Verses 16, and we're going to go through 25. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Okay, this is going on too much, right? We got like, let's get to the good part, right? But we're almost there. Envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I love that we talked about earlier, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we know that it's his presence that is the joy. I had a friend on Facebook, and, you know, I've been encouraged. I loved, sometimes you hear, maybe I hear, maybe you guys don't hear. So from the pulpit, sometimes a lot of negativity about, are you on Facebook? I have different friends that kind of like, oh, you know, Facebook is evil. And I realized today, you know, Facebook can be a light, can be a shining light, can be what you choose to say in my life, what I want this to be. And if you're showing your true face to people, which I hope you are, your true face reflects the glory of God, right? It says they looked to the Lord and their faces were radiant and there was no shame. And so I was just really challenged to say, hey, let's start loving each other on Facebook even more than we hopefully already do. I told Patty, she sent me a little happy birthday note kind of thing. And I'm like, thanks for the love. You know, it's like, that's one way you can shine your light, love on others by encouraging them. It can be through a picture of how God is working in your life. He's blessed you with children, you know, put those up. So anyway, I'm not going to start preaching about Facebook, sorry, but I'm just saying that, you know, but the reason I say this is because I was on Facebook and I was scrolling and one of my friends from the church that I used to go to had posted a picture of her staircase when you walk right in her front door. She has a house design, so when you walk in the door, the first thing you see are stairs. And so she had hand-painted on the risers scripture talking about love. And I could misquote it. So you can go on Facebook and look, right? But it was just talking about love. And I'm sure she, I just remember one of them, of course, love is patient, love is kind, right? And love is never boastful. And I'm sure, and it, if you get up the top, it probably said love never fails, right? And just what a reminder as you're walking and you're stepping that, you know, they're stepping on the words of love, and let that be a reminder to go from your toes all the way up to your mind to walk in love, right? And so the picture that I had for you guys here, when we were reading Galatians is to say, it's like walking on a staircase, right? And you're having Jesus at the top of the stairs and he's gazing at you. And so you're walking in his love, step, you know, one, you're walking in his joy, step two, walking in his peace. And as you kind of go up, you're going up higher and higher to the heavenly call that he's called you to be like Jesus, to bear his character and his fruit. And so, we just really want to walk with our gaze firmly on Jesus. And that as we do, we're going to have a prize, as it says in Philippians, he is our prize, right? But we have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we take our eyes off Jesus and think, I can do this, yes and amen, walk on my own. I kind of read the Bible enough. I'm like, I'm good, you know? And then we might think in our own strength, well, I don't really need to walk in love and joy today. I'm going to skip a step and I'm just going to go, you know, straight to long suffering. And then you're like, uh-oh, you're in trouble because you are not walking in the Spirit. Because yes, the Lord says you will walk through long suffering, but you know, you don't go straight there. He has a direction and a leadership. He prepares you for where he's going to have you walk. And so sometimes you're like, you think, well, wait a minute, how did I get here? But it's okay, because the Lord knows how you got there. If you're walking in his Spirit, everything that he is allowing in your life is for a purpose and a season. And so even long suffering, God is going to use. But first, make sure you've walked through in embracing his love to a fullness, and that you have his strength with his joy, and that his peace is going to rule and reign. So no matter what the circumstance around you looks like, you have his peace ruling in the situation, because then you're able to walk through that thing that could cause you to say, Lord, I'm going to wait on you. And I know this is hard right now and I'm suffering, but you suffered oh so much more for me. So I can walk in this suffering. Because I love how that scripture that talks about when you, for those who have suffered, they are done with sin. So we talk about those, you know, sometimes you think, sometimes with children, you know, I have teenagers. I got three boys in the house and they're teenagers, right? And I think a little bit, sometimes when you're younger, sin can, it may easily catch your eye more. I think as we walk with the Lord for a while, we kind of have our, you know, I don't want to say blinders up, but it's like, you know what, we got our grace vision glasses on. We got we've read the word, so we're filtering life through the word of God. And so we don't see as many opportunities to step into sin that, you know, we could, because we're avoiding, you know, the places that we're not supposed to be. But for young people, I think it can be a little bit harder. So I was going to go somewhere with this, and it'll come back as we're talking, because just talking about where we walk and how we walk, that we want to make sure that we're walking in the power of the Spirit, because we don't want to step out of his plan, because it's really the strength of the Lord, and he's going to complete the work that he has begun. And so just let's stay on his plan. And I love his plan. His perfection, and it's transforming us to be like him. So we want to be like Jesus. Remember I said that Jesus said yes to the Father. When God the Father said, will you go and give your life? Will you walk as a man? Will you, you know, be born as a baby? You know, the God who created the heavens and the earth came through the birth canal, right? We say, he said yes to the Father. So let's just stay on that pathway of his peace, in the pathway of love and joy. And let's all walk it all the way through to his kindness. I love how sometimes we can forget to walk in kindness with one another. We kind of think, they just don't get it. They're walking in sin. And how can we? But yet if we have that word of truth, you know, spoken in love and coming to them with that kindness, because it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Do you know that God, as of yet, I have never... well, I have to be careful with this, because, you know, the Lord is, he can speak to anybody the way he wants to speak to them, right? So just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean he doesn't want to do that with others. But the Holy Spirit is called a counselor, meaning he has wisdom, right? He's full of wisdom. And he usually comes and speaks to us in comfort and encouragement and exhortation. And so even in exhortation, he comes and says, you know what you're doing right now is not pleasing me. And he comes in such a way that you're like, oh, okay, it's his kindness. Wait a minute, is this, okay, God, I know that this hasn't been pleasing you and I've been struggling with it, not sure how to let go, but because of your kindness, I realize if I repent, you're going to turn this all around for me. And so we need to walk in his kindness, and we want to walk in his kindness towards one another, because there's such a true aspect of walking in his kindness with one another. And so that kind of, I was going to carry back over to Facebook, but let's be kind in our words. And it's better to go to the Lord, even if you feel like you have a rebuke, and say, Lord, is this rebuke from you? And make sure that your heart is in God's place. And God has never, even in the only time that, well, God always spoke kind, even in his, you know, you vipers, all that. It was in the kindness of the Lord, because maybe they'd repent and have his house of God treated the right way. So his heart is always to bring people to that place of repentance. He always wants to see a change. You know, he always wants to see a rebirth and new creation work done. He's never happy or content when he says, well, I knew that Pharisee wasn't going to get it, and he walked the road the wrong way. The Lord is always saying, come back. I want you to come back to that place that's pliable. And so to hear his heart and to listen to his voice. And that's having a heart that says yes, that affirming heart to what the work of the Lord. And so as we say yes to the Lord, we get to walk in liberty and freedom. The Lord gives us liberty and freedom to walk with him. And I'm just going to end with this scripture real quick that says, and she quoted it earlier and I had it on my notes. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to read it, even though it's out of probably what, in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of the life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. You know, it's good to say yes to Jesus because he is the one who can give us the pleasures that are lasting and ever, ever true. We try to find pleasure in our own strength, in our own ways. It's only going to bring about for a season. And then, of course, consequences for it. So we just want to really say yes to the Lord and be obedient in his ways. His ways are good. His ways are high. His ways are pure and holy. And so we want to step as God orders our steps. And he orders our steps in righteousness, right? So we want to walk in steps that are ordered, saying yes and amen to the Lord, but walking in such a way that brings beauty to the Lord and for others around to see. I was heartbroken and challenged today. When I say yes to the Lord, you know, it's easy to say yes to the Lord, to love my children. I have, you know, many of you know I'm a mama. My first call, I have 7 kids, and so I've homeschooled for many years and just involved with that, but also being in church and ministry. And so, you know, you kind of feel like, yes, Lord, I'm doing what you called me to do. Yes, Lord, I'm helping at school. And yes, Lord, I'm teaching in the nursery. I'm teaching class. Yes, Lord. But the part that caught my heart today, have I said yes to the Lord when I'm out at Walmart? And there's been a couple times, and you see people on the aisle, and you're supposed to like, just say something. Whatever, you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't tell me what to say. He'll just say, you know, you need to go and just say, how are you doing? You know, it's like, there's a door here. And you're like, well, you know. So my challenge for my heart, and maybe it's for you guys too, we want to walk in the purity and the grace of the Lord so that we reflect his love and light to others. And then part of that is, are we like, ooh, I've got the truth, so I'm good. I'm not going to worry about others. And so we need to say yes to the Lord when he asks us to speak out of his love to others. And I know he did a work on my heart today that I'm going to be more aware when he's asking me to do something and say yes instead of, well, maybe. You know, I'm good at that. Well, I think this is you, God. Maybe it's you. I don't know, so I'm not so sure I'm going to do this. But saying, well, Lord, I'm going to say yes when it's you. And so to say yes to the Lord. So I'm just going to pray you guys out and get to go to lunch. Dinner. So, Lord, thank you that you have given us the power to say yes to walking in the Spirit, power to say yes to walking in your love. And, Lord, as the girls go out today, may they just have your power to say yes and everything that you're calling them to do, Lord. And give them that heart to say, Lord, the areas that I haven't been walking in the way that I should, Lord, you have said you've given us the power to say no to ungodliness. So I just pray for a repentance and a transformation and a new strength to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to walk in the way that you have called your daughters of the King to walk. And so, Lord, bless the girls as they go out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen.